The perek continues to discuss various cases where the blood of one korban is mixed together with the blood of a different korban. And we've already seen a number of examples of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that even though blood, which is supposed to be applied in one particular area of the Mizbeach, for example on the top half, then it is forbidden to apply it anywhere else on the Mizbeach, for example on the bottom half. Nevertheless, if you are not doing that for the sake of being part of the service, but rather if, for example, it's mixed together with other blood, and you need to apply the other blood on that part of the Mizbeach, it happens to be this blood is also mixed with that mixture. In such a case, it is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that we can view it as if it's water, and one would be able to go ahead and apply the blood onto the different parts of the Mizbeach, since regarding the part of the mixture which is not supposed to be applied there, since you are not trying to make that part of the mixture part of the service, we are able to look at it as if it is water and it is permitted. That having been said, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that that is not possible in the following case. Hanitonin bifnim, shenisorim hanitonin bachutz. Blood which is supposed to be applied on the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZohov, the golden Mizbeach inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which was mixed with blood which is supposed to be applied on the outer Mizbeach which stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. In this case there is no solution, and Yishofchu Lo Amo, it needs to be all poured into the canal of water which ran through the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The reason being that if we were to apply the blood onto the Mizbeach, we would need to apply the blood which is supposed to be in the inner Mizbeach first. Since that's considered to be on a sort of higher level of holiness, that service would therefore take precedence, and we would therefore need to bring the mixture of blood inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash and bring it to that Mizbeach, and then bring it outside and continue applying the blood onto the outer Mizbeach. The problem is, as soon as blood which is supposed to be applied on the outer Mizbeach enters the Beis HaMikdash building, that blood becomes invalidated. It's now left the place where it's supposed to be. And even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it's not a problem to apply the blood on the Mizbeach, it nevertheless is a problem to bring that blood into the Beis HaMikdash building and actively invalidate it. On the other hand, we can't apply the blood on the outer Mizbeach first, because the inner blood takes precedence, and therefore there's no solution except for to pour out the blood. Now what happens if the Kohen nevertheless went ahead and Nosan Bachutz v'chozav Nosan Bifnim? He applied the blood on the outer Mizbeach, and then he entered the building of the Beis HaMikdash and applied it on the inner Mizbeach. Kosher, both services of the blood are actually valid, since the only thing which he did wrong here was to change the order. And that is forbidden ideally, however it does not invalidate the Korban. And in terms of the blood getting invalidated by entering the Beis HaMikdash, that doesn't matter, since it only entered the Beis HaMikdash building after he had already used that blood to perform the service on the outer Mizbeach. And because of that, b'di'eved, which means once he has done it, it is valid. Now what happens if bifnim v'chozav nosan bachutz? He applied the blood on the inner Mizbeach, and then he went outside of the Beis HaMikdash building into the courtyard and applied the blood onto the outer Mizbeach. The korban whose blood is supposed to be applied on the inner Mizbeach, that is certainly valid. The service is valid, and the atonement would have been completed, or for whatever the korban was being brought, that service is fully valid. The question is regarding the blood of the korban which is supposed to be applied on the outer Mizbeach. It entered the Beis HaMikdash building. And according to everybody, regardless of what type of korban it is, it is ideally forbidden to bring the blood of that korban into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, in the case where the blood is supposed to be applied on the outer Mizbeach. The question is, once again, b'di'eved, once it has been done, does it invalidate the korban? Rabbi Akiva says that it doesn't validate the korban. It invalidates the blood, and so the blood would not be fitting for the service of putting it onto the Mizbeach. And as such, the korban becomes invalidated. V'chachom machshirim. However, the chachomim hold that it is still valid. Shehoi Rabbi Akiva Omer. Because Rabbi Akiva would say, kol adomim shenichnasu lechaper b'heichol, any blood which is supposed to be applied on the outer Mizbeach, which enters inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the heichol, to atone, that means to perform the service of the blood on the Mizbeach, pasulin, that blood becomes invalid. V'chachomim and the chachomim say, chatos bilvad. This only applies to a korban chatos. So the Mishnah, where the Chachomim said that it is valid, the Mishnah is certainly talking about a case where it's not a korban chatos. If it was a korban chatos's blood, then even the Chachomim agree that it's invalid. And their argument is based on how to understand the Pesukim. The Torah talks about this invalidation regarding a Korban Chatos. The question is, do we learn from there to include all other Korbanos or only the Korban Chatos? Rabbi Eliezer says that it's true. Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Chachomim that the Torah is only talking about a Korban Chatos. However, the same law applies Afa Oshom even to a Korban Oshom's blood, which was brought into the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenera, as the Pasuk says, Kachatos ka Oshom, just like a Korban Chatos, so too is a Korban Oshom. There's a comparison between the Korban Chatos and the Korban Oshom. Indeed, we saw this right at the beginning of the Masechta, that Rabbi Eliezer also compared the two. And in a similar vein, he learns the law which is stated by Korban Chatos to a Korban Oshom as well. It's important to note, however, that according to everybody, ideally it is forbidden to bring any blood which is not supposed to be there into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal, so that one does not come to bring the blood of a Korban Chatos, at least into the Heichal. Mishnah Yud Beis, Chatos shekibel domo b'shnei kosos, a Korban Chatos, whose blood the Kohen received in two cups. He used two different utensils to catch the blood, and one of the cups of blood went outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That, of course, invalidates the blood from being used in the continuation of the service. However, the Mishnah says, "Hapanimi kosher," the cup of blood which remained in the inside, which remained in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that would still be valid. The fact that part of the blood went outside does not invalidate the rest of the blood. Nichas echmehem lefnim, what if one of the cups was brought inside the Heichal? So like we just saw, according to everybody, the blood of the Korban Chatos, which entered into the building, becomes invalidated. What about the rest of the blood? Rabbi Yosef Glili says that the blood in the cup, which is still in the courtyard, is valid. However, the Chachom say that that also becomes invalidated from the mere fact that part of the blood entered into the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the building. Rabbi Yosef Glili said to the Chachomim, Mo'im bim ko'im isha machshava peiseles, bachutz. If a place where even the thought of bringing that blood to there, to that location, invalidates the blood, namely outside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, if somebody slaughters the animal, for example, with the intention that he's going to do one of the other services, like throwing it onto the Mizbeach, he's going to do that outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. As we learned at length in the first four prokem of the Masechta, that invalidates the entire korban. Just by having the thought to do a service with that blood outside of the courtyard. And yet, in a case where the blood is perfectly valid and somebody takes it outside, so if he takes one of the cups outside, we learned in the beginning of this Mishnah, lo osos hamashara kayotze. This does not make the rest of the blood, which is still inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, like it. It doesn't make it invalid. The rest of the blood remains valid. So makom she'eina machshava peiseles, a place where the thought of performing the continuation of the service in that location does not invalidate the korban. For example, if somebody slaughters the animal with the intention that he's going to apply the blood on the inner mizbeach, he's going to bring the blood into the building of the Beis HaMikdash and apply the blood on there, even though it's forbidden for him to do that with the blood, nevertheless, the mere thought to do that does not invalidate the korban. All of the laws of chutz l'mekomoy, of having intentions to bring a part of the korban outside of its designated area, that invalidating the korban, all that we learned in the first four parakim, that's all regarding taking the korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash totally. Thinking of bringing it into the building of the Beis HaMikdash does not invalidate it. So all the more so, eino din shelo naaseh hamishar kanichnas. It's not all the more so that if somebody went ahead and brought part of the blood into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that should not invalidate the rest of the blood which remained in the courtyard. So again, in short, if we see that regarding a location which is stringent and it has a big power of invalidating the korban, i.e. outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we see that if you take part of the blood outside, it does not invalidate the rest of the blood. All the more so, bring it inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which has a lower power to invalidate the korban. All the more so, that should not invalidate the rest of the blood which remained in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chachomim learn from a pasuk that the law is nevertheless not like this. Continues the Mishnah, Nichlas l'chaper, if blood of a korban chatos, which is supposed to be applied to the outer mizbeach, it is brought into the Heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, for the sake of applying it to the base, to the Mizbeach, to get its atonement. So the Kohen brought the blood in there with the intent of throwing it onto the Mizbeach. Afal pi shaloi kiper, even if he doesn't end up fulfilling that part of the atonement, he doesn't end up throwing the blood onto the Mizbeach, nevertheless, possible, the blood is invalid from the mere fact that it entered into the Heichal. The Rebbe Eliezer, that is the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Achi yechaper, it only becomes invalidated if he actually does atone with it. He does actually apply it to the Mizbeach. They have an argument as to how to learn the Pesukim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Im hechnes shoygeg, if he brought it into the Heichal by mistake, he didn't realize what he was doing, that it was forbidden, then even if he actually goes ahead and applies it to the Mizbeach, nevertheless, kosher, it would still be valid, and the Korban would have provided its atonement, and once again, Rabbi Yehuda learns this from Pesukim. The Torah, when talking about the tzitz, which was the special gold band which the Kohen Gadol would wear on his forehead, the Torah says that the tzitz will atone for certain sins regarding korbanos, and we learn from there that there are certain disqualifications of a korban which are actually rectified, and the korban is not deemed invalid as a result of the tzitz. The tzitz somehow provides that atonement such that the korban will still be considered valid. And the Mishnah now tells us that that does not include invalidations of the blood entering the heichal. All of the blood which has become invalidated, for example, if it entered the heichal, if it was applied to the mizbeach, let's say you then took that chatos blood and you applied it to the outer mizbeach, loy hirtzah tzitz, the tzitz, this gold band of the Kohen Gadol, does not appease, it does not rectify and validate that korban, and it will still be considered invalid. Elo al hatome, rather the tzitz will only appease and rectify the disqualification of something which is tome. If parts of a korban become tome, for example the emurim which are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, or the meat which is supposed to be eaten, in such a case the blood should not be applied on the mizbeach. The korban is essentially supposed to be invalid. However, if somebody did go ahead and apply the blood onto the mizbeach, the tzitz causes that is considered valid, and the korban would provide its atonement or whatever it is being bought for. Because, says the Mishnah, the rule is sha tzitz meratz ala tome, because the tzitz appeases and it rectifies and validates a disqualification as a result of tuma, impurity, ve'in meratz ala yotze, but it does not allow this to happen as a result of a disqualification of blood leaving its correct location. The Torah says, Zohar ha-mizbeach kodesh kodoshim, the mizbeach will be holy of holies, kol hanigea v'mizbeach yikdosh. Anything which touches the mizbeach will become sanctified, will become holy. And it is learnt from this pasuk that even a part of a korban which is invalidated, and it is not supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, nevertheless, if it was put onto the mizbeach, it should not be taken down. We learn from a different pasuk to which parts of a korban that actually applies. It doesn't apply to everything. The Mishnah says, "Hamizbeach mekadesh haro'oiloi." The mizbeach, so to speak, gives this holiness to that which is fitting, at least on a theoretical level, to be placed on the mizbeach. Meaning, had it not been invalidated, it would have belonged on the mizbeach. Now, what exactly is included in this category? Rabbi Yeshua says, "Kol haro'oilo ishim." It's specifically something which is fitting for the fire of the Mizbeach, that it's supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. If it goes up onto the Mizbeach, it should not be brought down. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hi ho'oilo al mugdo al ha-mizbeach, which literally is referring to the korban oilo, and the Torah is saying, that is the korban oilo on the mugdo, which is the area where the fire is burning, al ha-mizbeach, on the Mizbeach. The Mishnah is understanding that this is also not just referring to the korban oilo. The word oilo can be translated as that which goes up. The Mishnah is reading the pasuk, that which goes up on the mikdah, on the mizbeach. The pasuk is saying, hi ha'oilo, that is that which goes up, meaning it should remain up there. Now the simple understanding of the pasuk is that it's referring to a korban oilo. So a combination of these two ways to read the pasuk leads to the following deduction from the pasuk. Mo oilo shehi ru'uyo lo ishim. Just like a korban oilo is fitting for the fire, a korban oilo is burnt on the mizbeach, totally. And the law which is being learned from this pasuk is that im also leiterid, if it goes up onto the mizbeach, once it becomes invalidated, it should not be brought down. So too, af kol dovah shiroi lo ishim, so too anything which is fit for the fire of the Mizbeach. If it goes up, even once it becomes invalidated, it should not be brought back down. Rabban Gamliel says, kol haroi lamizbeach im ola lo yered. Anything which is fitting, theoretically, to be put on the Mizbeach at all, even if it's not supposed to be burnt specifically, if it goes up, it should not be brought back down. Shneur, as the Pasuk says, the same Pasuk, ki ha'oila moed al ha'mizbeach, that is the oilo, that is that which goes up onto the area where the fire is burning on the Mizbeach. And we learn from here, according to Rabbi Gamliel, mo oilo shiru'u al ha'mizbeach. Just like a common oilo which is fitting to be put on the Mizbeach, im also l'teyed, if it goes up, even once it's invalidated, it should not be brought back down. Af kol dovah shiru'u al ha'mizbeach im ola l'teyed. So to anything which is fit, theoretically, to be put onto the Mizbeach, if it is put there once it's invalidated, it should not be brought back down. Rabban Gamliel adds to the way of learning the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, Ah HaMizbeach, on the Mizbeach. And he therefore implies that it refers to anything which is supposed to be on the Mizbeach, even if it's not specifically burnt on the Mizbeach. Now what does this include? What is put on the Mizbeach which isn't burnt? The Mishnah says, "Ein bin divrei Rabban Gamliel divrei Rabbi Yeshua." There's no difference between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua's words. Elo hadom v'nesochim, except for the blood and the nesochim, which refers to the wine which is poured onto the mizbeach, either as its own offering in and of itself, or as something to accompany other korbanos, other offerings. This is poured on the mizbeach, but obviously it is not burnt. So if these become invalidated and then they are put onto the Mizbeach, Sher Rabban Gamliel, Omer lo yerdu, according to Rabban Gamliel, they should not be brought back down. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, Omer yerdu, according to Rabbi Yeshua, they should be brought back down. We're talking about blood which has been brought inside its utensil to the top of the Mizbeach, but it has not yet been thrown and applied onto the Mizbeach. Once it's been applied onto the side of the Mizbeach, we certainly don't try and now take the blood off the walls of the Mizbeach. We're only talking about a case where it has not yet been thrown onto the Mizbeach, it's only been brought up there. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, now Rabbi Shimon agrees fundamentally with Rabban Gamliel that even blood and the wine which is poured onto the Mizbeach, once it's been brought up to the top, then it should not be brought back down. However, Rabbi Shimon says there's one exception to that, and that is regarding the wine which is brought in order to accompany other korbanos. One is able to bring wine by itself as its own offering, and there are also certain requirements when one brings korbanos to bring with it wine to accompany the korban. In a case where the wine comes to accompany the korban, since it has less significance in and of itself, if there is any invalidation, then it would need to be brought back down. Rabbi Shimon says, Hazevach kosher v'nesochim psolim, if the korban which is being burnt on the Mizbeach is still valid, but the nesochim, the wine which is being poured there, became invalid. Or hanesochim ksherim, the wine is essentially still valid, nothing happened to it to invalidate it, but v'hazevach posel, the korban itself became invalid. Now, as a result of that, that also invalidates the nesochim, because they have no use other than to accompany the korban. Or afilu zevzeb sulen, even in a case where they are both invalid because of themselves, in all of these cases, hazevach l'yeyred, the actual korban, which is being burnt on the Mizbeach, should not be brought back down if it was put onto the top. However, the Nesachim do need to be brought back down from the Mizbeach, as we explained. Mishnah Beis, this Mishnah gives examples and elaborates on the rules learned in the previous Mishnah. The following things, if they go onto the top of the Mizbeach, should not be brought back down, even if they are supposed to be invalid. Halon, if a korban was left overnight and it became invalid because of that. V'atome, if it became impure. V'hayotze, if it left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. V'anishrat chutzizmanoi, if it was slaughtered with the intention of performing a later service out beyond its time limit. V'chutzim koimoi, or beyond its area limit. V'shekibl psulin, or if somebody invalid to do the service received its blood. V'zorkes domoi, or threw its blood onto the Mizbeach. All of these korbanos are invalid, however, based on the rule we learned in the previous Mishnah, if they were put onto the top of the Mizbeach, they should not be brought back down. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shenishchato balayla, if the korban is invalid because it was slaughtered at night, Shenishbach es doma, or because its blood was spilt, and therefore it wasn't thrown onto the Mizbeach, V'sheyotz doma chutz akloim, or if its blood left the curtains, it left the walls of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, these three invalidations would cause that the loyal beam also loteyed, if it went up, if the korban went up onto the top of the Mizbeach, it should be brought back down. Rabbi Yehuda learns from Pesukim that these three things, where the invalidation occurred before the blood was applied to the Mizbeach, they became invalid at such an early stage, they would need to be brought back down from the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says, Lo tered. It should not be brought down from the Mizbeach. Shall hear Rabbi Shimon Omer, because Rabbi Shimon would say that the rule is, Kol shepasuli b'kodesh ha-kodesh mekabloi. Any korban which became invalid once it entered the Beis HaMikdash, the holy area of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKodesh Mekabloi, the holy Mizbeach, really, would, so to speak, accept it, and it would not need to be taken down. If its invalidation did not occur in the Beis HaMikdash or in the courtyard, but it occurred earlier on, it's an intrinsically invalid korban, then in HaKodesh Mekabloi, the Mizbeach would not accept it, and then it would need to be taken down.